Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 10, chapters entitled The Nature of Fruit of Activity, and today is Text 6. Amanya matsaro daksho nirmamo drida sodrida asatvaro ta jignashur anashur amogavat Amanya matsaro daksho nirmamo drida sodrida asatvaro tor unta jignashur anasuyur amogava his chant. Anasuryor Amogava Amanya matsaro daksho nirmamo drida sodrida asatvaro ta jignashu anusuyo amogava Amani, without false ego. Amatsara, not considering oneself to be the doer. Daksha, without laziness. Nirmama, without any sense of proprietorship over one's wife, children, home, society, etc. Drida sodrita, being fixed in the mood of loving friendship with the spiritual master, who is one's worshipable deity. Atsavara, without becoming bewildered due to material passion. Artha Jignashu, desiring knowledge of the absolute truth. Anasuyu, free from envy. Amogavak, being completely free from useless conversation. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The servant or disciple of the spiritual master should be free from false prestige, never consider himself to be the doer. He should be active and never lazy, and should give up all sense of proprietorship over the objects of the senses, including his wife, children, home, and society. He should be endowed with feelings of loving friendship for the spiritual master, and should never become deviated or bewildered. The servant or disciple should always desire advancement in spiritual understanding, should not envy anyone, and should always avoid useless conversation. Purport. No one can claim to be the permanent proprietor of his so-called wife, family, home, society, and so on. Such material relationships appear and disappear like bubbles on the surface of the ocean. No one can claim to be the creator of the material elements that produced one's home, society, and family. If it were a fact that parents were the ultimate creators of the bodies of their children, children would never die before their parents. The parents would simply create new bodies for the children. Similarly, parents would also not die because they would create new bodies for themselves to replace the old ones. Actually, God creates everyone's bodies as well as the material elements with which we build our material societies. Therefore, before death drags these things out of our grasp, we should voluntarily engage them in the loving service of the spiritual master, who is a bona fide representative of Lord Krishna. Then such material objects, instead of causing lamentation, will be the cause of happiness. Amanya matsaro daksho nirmamo dudasodhida asatvarota jignashur anusuryur amogava. The servant or disciple of the spiritual master should be free from false prestige, never considering himself to be the doer. He should be active and never lazy, and should give up all sense of proprietorship over the object of the senses, including his wife, children, home, and society. He should be endowed with feelings of loving friendship toward the spiritual master, and should never become deviated or bewildered. The servant or disciple should always desire advancement in spiritual understanding, should not envy anyone, and should always avoid useless conversation. Om Ganatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umitam Gena Tashmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So let's put this in context. If we go back to the end of the sixth chapter, Uddhava's understanding that Krishna is about ready to leave the planet, and it creates a lot of transcendental anxiety and distress for him, because he can't imagine how he's going to survive or just exist without Krishna's presence. So he asks Krishna if he can take him with him, which is a reasonable request for such an intimate associate. But Krishna had another plan. He wanted him, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a pretty long commentary of how Krishna had done so many things in his 125 years on the planet. But one thing that he had failed to do was to visit Naranarayana Rishi at Bhadragashram, visit Naranarayana Rishi and the other sages there. So in one sense, this was unfinished business, but also a plan of the Lord to engage Uddhava. Therefore, rather than taking him with him, he started instructing him so that he would be able to convey this transcendental knowledge to Narayana Rishi and the sages at Bhadrashram. And there's also, as we'll see, now we're in the 10th chapter, so then we go through the whole discussion. Krishna's describing this pastime between King Yadu and the Avadhut Brahmin, who actually, as we find out at the end of the last chapter, is Dattatreya, an incarnation of Krishna. And so there's a very high level of detachment that's there in this Avadhut Brahmin and Dattatreya. And so this chapter is beginning to, Krishna is beginning to explain how you get there, how you get to that level of detachment. Now, there's also this instruction that Krishna is giving Uddhava is to equip him to preach to Naranarayana Rishi and the sages at Bhadragasha. But it's also, he's enabling Uddhava, as we'll find out in the 12th chapter, he's enabling Uddhava to stay connected with him after he leaves. It's an interesting angle on that, you know, kind of a not so obvious agenda, particularly in this chapter where we're dealing with detached karma yoga. So, but in the 12th chapter, and then, so this chapter is about performing one's occupational duties with detachment, offering it to Krishna. And then from the 14th text onward, Krishna's defeating the philosophy of karma mamamsa or purva mamamsa, which is basically atheistic, and the world is here to enjoy, and if you play your cards right, you'll enjoy to the max. And it's pretty easily defeated by Krishna. But what about death? Is that a pleasant experience? Is that an enjoyable experience? So, I mean, there's a lot of discussion going on, but that's, you know, kind of the bottom line. Is this material world, this dukkhalayam ashashvatam? You know, a little piety can help you enjoy materially, but ultimately, a lot of misery. So, and then the next chapter, after chapter 11, Krishna starts making presentation on the practice of pure devotional service. Describes the characteristics of a saintly person. And then in chapter 12, Krishna ends the chapter by encouraging Uddhava to follow the examples of the damsels of Braja. And this is the best way that he can express his love for Krishna, that Uddhava can. So there we can see there is instruction going on. It's not just meant for the sages at Bhadrakashyam. So this is kind of leading up to that. Now, how many of you have had the experience in this lifetime of losing somebody that's very close to you? Maybe he's moved, or maybe he's left his body. Has anybody gone through this? And can someone volunteer how it felt? Hold on. Got the mic just now coming.
Yes, years ago I lost my sister. Her name was Teresa. And this was before I became a devotee, or trying to be a devotee. And anyway, I was depressed for some time about that. And actually, it led me to start thinking in my mind, what is the purpose of life? Why does he die so young?
So it's a painful experience. I remember being in Vrindavan one time, and a family of monkeys lost a baby monkey, and they were so disturbed, you know, they were like just screaming and wailing. So I remember one of my closest friends is a devotee by the name of Nirguna, and we were Sankirtan partners for 18 years. And it was a real transcendental departure, but it was also, I remember, this was in Mayapur, and the devotees that were organizing, you know, kind of the last rites, Vaishnava rites, where his body would be cremated, they had me, after, when he left his body, then they had me offer artik to his body. You know, they washed it, and then they put new cloth on, and they offered artik. And then we took him around the samadhi three times, and then by boat to the burning ghat, because it was still flooding. And I remember as I was offering artik, tears were streaming down my cheeks, but I felt a lot of ecstasy. You know, so it's a little different when it's a devotional relationship. But to speak of the intensity of Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati, you know, this is, Prabhupada translated this as Krishna consciousness. So this Krishna Bhakti Rasa is absorbed in the mellows of executing devotional service to Krishna, and the Mati is the intelligence. So it's a very intense thing when one advances in Krishna consciousness, the degree of attachment that develops for Krishna. So we can kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word, extrapolate, you know, our own sense of loss. Like Yamaraj is speaking about his sister, several devotees, Nantashesh, you know, you raised your hand, there was probably someone near and dear that you lost. So it's a painful experience. So this is what Uddhava is anticipating and somehow or other wants to not have to go through. So this chapter, as I mentioned, is dealing with, I guess we could call it Nishkam Karma Yoga. You know, rendering one's activities, but with a sense of detachment. Once, this is, I believe it was the 1976 Rath Yatra in Philadelphia, and devotees arranged for Thomas Hopkins. He was a professor of religion at Franklin and Marshall College to meet with Srila Prabhupada. This was kind of, there was, he's actually wrote a testimony in the Bhagavad Gita, an appreciation of Prabhupada, I believe, you know, I mean, anyway. So when they started discussing, Thomas Hopkins asked Srila Prabhupada, what's the essence of all of his teachings? What would he say out of all of the books that he's written? What would be the most essential and important information? And Prabhupada, he said, well, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that would be the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then, so Thomas Hopkins wanted to narrow it down. And then I think Prabhupada said the first canto. And then said, no, just one specific reference. Anybody know what he said? What Prabhupada's response was? What he came down with one verse, which is relevant to today's verse and purport. No one heard that. I saw that transcription of that conversation. So it's Dharmasya Yapavargasya Nartoya Nartotar nartotaya pakopate, nartasha dhammakantasha kamo labaya hishmita. So all occupational duties, engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. They should never be performed for material gain. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So we would kind of guess maybe it'd be Sarvadharma Parityajya, something like that. But here, because of perhaps, you know, time, place, circumstance adjustment, you know, Prabhupada is focusing on the needs of those that he's preaching to, you know, to actually get, to take them where they are and then elevate them. I mean, this is basically what Nishkam Karma Yoga is all about. You know, you engage your propensities. Srila Prabhupada said, how do we know, when he was asked, how do we know what our varna is? And he responded and said, it's something you like to do and you're good at. So, I mean, some acharyas say that Nishkam Karma Yoga is bhakti, but some, there's a difference of opinion on it apparently. But the idea is that if you uttama bhakti, it's what Krishna wants. So you might be doing something that you don't like to do. You know, if you're surrendering to within the parameters of the definition of uttama bhakti, it's favorable. You can understand that. Maybe your spiritual master has given you that advice, or you know, the spiritual authorities, or Krishna within your heart has awoken an understanding of what he wants out of you in service. And so it may be very difficult service, but perseverance. So that's the difference between Nishkam Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. We may be offering all the results to Krishna, but we're still attached to doing a particular type of seva. So that's the distinction between the two. So it's kind of like a yoga ladder that Krishna's taking, allowing Uddhava to climb as he's instructing him. We've got this karma yoga rung on the ladder in this chapter, next chapter. Then there's a, when we performed our occupational duties in a detached manner, then there's awakening of knowledge. So the jnana, you know, next rung on the ladder, and then that opens the door for bhakti. So, and then as I mentioned earlier, then Krishna takes it a step further, and this is directly to enliven and connect Uddhava with him as they, you know, in anticipation of the departure, you know, that you can best serve me by following in the example of the damsels of Braja. Okay, so what we're dealing with in this this description in the verse and purport is a pretty, well, it's epidemic worldwide. You know, this is the consciousness of the conditioned soul that Krishna is advising Uddhava, you can't be in this position. You know, you got to get out of this. You know, you're not the center of the universe. This is what detached karma yoga allows one to understand that he's a spirit soul, that he's not here to enjoy, that the results should be offered to Krishna. So this there's a verse that kind of describes what we're dealing with. Lord Rishabhdev in his instructions to his son, Pumsastriya Mituni Bhavamitam, Tayor Mito Ridaya Grantimahu, Atogiha Shetra Sutaptavi Tayar, Janasha Moho Yamahamamiti. So the attraction, first of all, there's this bodily identification. And when that bodily identification, there becomes attraction between male and female. And that creates a knot in the heart, it binds one. And then one starts thinking in terms of I and mine, becomes attached to his property, his friends, his relatives. So this is the basic illusion that every conditioned soul has to deal with. Very powerful. And these, it's funny because you look, I've been thinking of Vrindavan lately, hopefully about ready to go there. But most of you, have all of you been to Vrindavan before? Everyone here? So it's an interesting pastimes that we see the hogs of Vrindavan, the pigs in Vrindavan that they perform, how they just are having their daily feast in the sewer. They're eating these unmentionable items. But that's what their senses are attached to. So, you know, in the human form, there's other very strong attachments. As there were some children at my house and they were watching this video of a lion and a lioness pursuing a zebra and then catching the zebra and then just devouring it. And so the human form, we have this identification. You know, we our self is kind of it's kind of integrated with our, you know, in the conditioned state with our body, with our senses and the sense objects. There's a very strong identification. So the sense objects may be our material possessions. If we're in a material illusion, it may be our wife, our children. They're very, very intense. You know, for a pig, it's different. But for the monkeys, you know, they have this family attachment. So how to deal with all of that? You know, it goes to the very essence of why we came to the material world in the first place. Icha dvesha samutvena dvando mohena bharata sarvabhutani samhoham sargayanti parantapa. So overcome by the dualities of desire and hate, we come into this material world. So it's a little bit like, well, who are we desiring? What are we desiring? Who are we hating? It's like that little boy is playing on the flute. Why can't it be me? So then we get what we're asking for. Was it Anadi? Bahir Mukh, you know, we come into this whole illusory energy. We've been in it for time immemorial, practically speaking. So the process of devotional service enables us to go beyond that. But basically what we go through a role reversal. Earlier on in this canto, there's this verse that Prabhupada very often quotes. Bayam dhuti yabhi niveshata shad shadi pitasho vipariyosmiti tanmaya yato buddha abhijetan bhaktyaya kayesham guru devatatma. So when one misidentifies himself as a body, this is all arranged by the illusory energy of the Lord. He actually goes through a role reversal. Rather than seeing himself as Krishna's servant, he becomes Krishna's competitor. And that's exactly what's going on. You know, the conditioned mind, the subtle body, is thinking I'm the center of the universe. Is everything is there for my enjoyment. And when I don't get that enjoyment, then the krodha comes in, and, you know, so much challenge, so much suffering. So I quoted this Icha Dvesha Samutvena verse, and the purport, Prabhupada says, the real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's descriptions of this in the purport of the text 2 of Nectar of Instruction. And, you know, there's three energies that are presented. There's the Antaranga Shakti, the internal energies. There's the Tattastha Shakti, the Jiva. And then there's the Bahiranga Shakti. So depending upon one's consciousness, the Jiva, the Tattastha Shakti, he's either controlled by the Antaranga Shakti or by the Bahiranga Shakti, by the Maya, by Maya. And this is Krishna's energy. So the whole idea is to make this switch from the Bahiranga Shakti, which is the status of the conditioned soul, where he's thinking it's his body, and he's just trying to enjoy in the material world. And that ignorance is the source of his desires, and it's also the source of his performing sinful activities, which create so much distress for him. So the Mahatma, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha, Daivam Prakritim Ashrita, Vajant Yananyo Manaso, Gatva Bhutatamavinam. So the great souls are under the protection of the divine energy. So this is the whole idea of the process that's being prescribed here, is how we come to that. And the purport ends with a description of the anashaptasha vishayan yarta ham at upayunjata nirbandha krishna sambande yukta vairagya muchate. So this is that when one engages everything in Krishna's service, this is the highest platform of renunciation. And when one is actually doing that, when he's actually trying to please Krishna with all of his activities and engaging his family members, his property, and Krishna's service. This is real Krishna sambandha, you know, an understanding of the relationship with Krishna. And it enables one to function within the Antaranga Shakti, under the Antaranga Shakti. And those same material objects, they're actually transformed into the internal energy of the Lord. There's an interesting verse in purport which describes that. Let's see if I can find it here. Maybe I didn't get that in here. Oh, here it is. This is the reference is 1.3.34 Bhagavatam. Therefore, by the grace of the external energy, which is employed in illusioning those living beings who want to have it, subsides by the will of the Lord in terms of repentance and penance for the conditioned soul. And the very same energy that acts to help the purified living entity, living being make progress on the path of self-realization. The example of electrical energy is very appropriate in this connection. The expert electrician can utilize the electrical energy for both heating and cooling by adjustment only. Similarly, the external energy, which now bewilders the living being into continuation of birth and death, is turned into internal potency by the will of the Lord to lead the living being to eternal life. When a living being is thus graced by the Lord, he is placed in his proper constitutional position to enjoy eternal spiritual life. So that's how it's done. You know, we try to engage whatever we've got, our body, mind, and words, in Krishna's service, and then and all of our so-called possessions, understand they actually belong to him. And then we're within the Antaranga Shakti. At Mendriya Priti Vancha Tara Balikama Krishnendriya Priti Icha Dare Prema Nama. So when one is trying to satisfy his own senses, when he has a desire to just do that, that's lust. If he's trying to satisfy the senses of Krishna, then that's called prema. So that's her aim of, and how we can get out of this illusion. Let me stop here. I'll read the verse again, and then maybe there's some comments or questions. The servant or disciple of the spiritual master should be free from false prestige, never consider himself to be the doer. He should be active and never lazy, should give up all sense of proprietorship over the object of the senses, including his wife, children, home, and society. He should be endowed with feelings of loving friendship toward the spiritual master and should never become deviated or bewildered. The servant or disciple should always desire advancement in spiritual understanding, should not envy anyone, and should always avoid useless conversation. Any points? Yes. Trivikram Prabhu.
The point about being attached to the spiritual master or the instructions of the spiritual master. We're in a time now that sometimes many devotees feel that that having a spiritual master might not be so important, you know, or just taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada is enough for him. But having diksha, you know, having the physical master is also important within our line. So can you shed some light into that really? But I know there's a lot of devotees who feel that they could just take Srila Prabhupada's instructions, read his books, and that'd be enough for them.
Yeah, the process of diksha formally connects us, of course, with the Parampara and with Krishna. And it's a process that starts prior to the actual initiation and continues up to the platform when it's, achieved bhava. This is a description in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm quoting Jiva Goswami in one of the purports. So, and that relationship is eternal, but that's the nature of the process. So, as we make this journey, there is the Diksha Guru, and he, for the most part, will also function as a Shiksha Guru, but there may be multiple Shiksha Gurus. I mean, in our movement, the fundamental and Shiksha Guru, of course, is Srila Prabhupada. So that's it's a significant point, and there's validity in that. But that's not to say that one should neglect his relationship with his Diksha Guru, because then it can be tantamount to Guru Avagya, offending the Guru. And that's not pleasing to Krishna. So it may also be that as one goes through this process, there may be more prominence of particular Shiksha Gurus as one traverses, goes through the stages of elevation to the platform of bhava. And there's legitimacy in that. And I think probably most devotees have experienced that in the course of their devotional career. Madan Mohan has some words of wisdom to share with us.
If someone says that reading Prabhupada's books is enough, I would call their bluff. I think they're bluffing. If you read Prabhupada's books, all throughout his books it says you have to take initiation from a spiritual master.
Yeah.
So he says, I'm just reading the books. It was like that time a devotee went up to Prabhupada and says, Prabhupada, I'm only going to accept your instructions. So Prabhupada said, okay, my instructions are, you take instructions from this devotee. And the devotee said, Prabhupada, I'm only going to take instructions from you. And Prabhupada said, okay, I'm telling you, take instructions from this devotee. And the devotee says, no, I'm just going to take instructions from you. So when they say they're studying Prabhupada's books, or they're reading Prabhupada's books and that's enough, then you would have to actually challenge them a little on that point, that if you do read Prabhupada's books and you follow what he says, of course it's punya shravana, and you can do that, but I mean, if there's some element of sincerity there.
Yeah,
Hare Krishna, I appreciate what Madan Mohan says, but then I know many devotees that have been very disappointed by first taking instructions from senior devotees and then finding out they have maybe some anattas they struggle with, and so they don't really know how much they can take guidance from senior devotees and which senior devotees to choose.
Yes. I mean, generally speaking, there's certain prescriptions in the diksha process that the spiritual master should examine the potential disciple to evaluate his qualification, and it almost seems like a little bit like an upstart, but also the disciple should examine the spiritual master to see whether he has confidence in him. A lot of times, at least in the first 10, 15 years after Prabhupada left, it was kind of an automatic. You know, if you joined in a certain temple, then you got a certain guru. And it wasn't, you know, that prescription wasn't so much used. So, and then there were difficulties that different spiritual masters had, so it weakened faith. But there, I can remember when there was I don't know the specific reference, but Bhakti Chuswami, he published a paper for the GBC. He did the research on it. And if one has taken diksha from a Vaishnava and then a Vaishnava has difficulty, then the proper disciple should patiently wait, pray to Krishna that he becomes spiritually strong, again gets reinstated, and has that kind of a patient and loving attitude. Not that, and then just walk away from it. So, you know, there, and then within our movement, you know, I've also experienced sometimes when I've been disappointed, I've gone to take shelter and take shiksha from a senior devotee, and then didn't feel that he was really thinking of me, what was going to help me the most. You know, I mean, it just didn't come out that way. You know, maybe it was my recovery. It wasn't that I had a long-term relationship particularly, but so there are spiritual masters now that have disciples wait 5, 6, 8, 10 years before giving diksha. And then so they're really sure that they can make that kind of commitment, you know, in both ways. The spiritual master and disciple are examined. I think the principle is like for a year, you know, that examination takes place. But because of the mishaps that have occurred within a movement, it seems that, you know, some spiritual masters have extended that, so that there's real security on both sides. So these are delicate points, and the whole understanding and the application of Guru Tattva is kind of an upward spiral of evolution. And we see that, you know, our movement is becoming more and more mature in how to deal with this. I know that my good friend Sureshwar Prabhu, he's put a tremendous amount of his devotional energy into developing the Founder Acharya Seminar series. And he's published, the BTG's published like a series of articles on that. So the relationship with Srila Prabhupada is very, very essential for every ISKCON devotee, but also relationship with Diksha Guru and also with different Shiksha Gurus is also very significant. We shouldn't neglect them because this is the means whereby we achieve or acquire transcendental knowledge. Tamarishko?
Yes, in relationship to what Trivikrama was saying, this verse comes up, and it's Bhagavad Gita 264. And the verse is, let me just say this before I say this, that, I think you can understand the scriptures more if you have a spiritual master. So the verse says, but a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control the senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. And then the purport is pretty long, but it talks about how we could just say, for example, if we don't have a spiritual master and we're thinking we're practicing devotional service, but we get attached to somebody else's wife or it's so many allurements that the material energy can have that has for us. And so so when you get internal from the spiritual master, it helps us understand, because I run into some devotees and they have some way out philosophies, the ones who are not initiated. If you read some of these stuff online, it's getting feedback. But some of the for example, I won't make it too long. But for example, Chaitanya Charan wrote a article in Bhakti Godhead about the living entity being non. It's not female or male. So then the response to that was this one devotee, Bhakta, I forget his name. But anyway, he was saying that he was challenging Chaitanya Charan on his statement about the devotee is, according to what Prabhupada said, was always female, that is female. So to Chaitanya Charan, whose scholar he is, he came up with so much evidence of disputing that. So the point I'm trying to make is that we can think as we're a bhakta or something like that, we can think that we understand scriptures and all we got to do is read Prabhupada's books and all that, then we got it, you know, but it's not as simple as that.
Yeah, that's the utsahamayi. That's a level, kind of the introductory level of anishta bhajana kriya, where one is thinking that he knows so much, you know, and he's kind of prideful. So it's so essential to have a spiritual master. If one doesn't have a spiritual master, then he should get one. Big part of the process. Madan, we'll end with Madan.
That's also because this is a current situation that ISKCON has come up with the disciples course.
Yeah.
And as far as I've heard and seen, it's excellently done. And anyone who's interested, they would take that course. And any questions they have, it could be brought up and answered very authoritatively and correctly, and it would satisfy anyone. Because we really want to know, and we want to protect ourselves, you know, when you're in that position. And it's being done so nicely. You know, devotees can present things so nicely, authoritatively, not in the sense that, you know, dogmatically or, you know, that type of authoritatively, but, I mean, explaining it the way that it is from someone who's experienced and understands, and with compassion and empathy, having the person understand what it is, and they can come out very nicely from that.
Okay, there's this one thing I wanted to end on, and this was a quote. I quoted this verse, Pumsastriya Mituni Bhava Mitam. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. The last point that Prabhupada makes in the purport, most people are bound by knots of marital relationship, and consequently, they forget their relationship with Krishna. So in other words, this is, you know, to come to the Krishna Sambandha platform, you know, of actually understanding that this is Krishna's servant, you know, not just my wife, or not just my children, or these possessions. That's a very important element in developing a relationship with Krishna. Maybe I shouldn't have ended with that, because it's a hot one, maybe. All right, I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.